Okay, I've been advised the council president Bullock will not be available for the first two meetings. Currently present, council persons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Street, Holland, Weiner, Cartier, Diller, Retta. I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chair of Finance Committee. And what's your pleasure on the minutes of September 8, 2014?
Motion.
Second.
Approved, the second, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Have it. Nothing on the consent calendar. First on the agenda, R14-200, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract, increase the amount of $294,911.67 for the Wilmington Institute Library funding for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services, which revisits the total purchase order amount to $648,805.67. And this is the quarterly contract for the Wilmington Library, and this is an amendment to increase a previous purchase order. Is there any questions on R14-200? Next on the, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Councilman Street.
I assume for the record that the concerns that we raised at the beginning of the fiscal year have been satisfied and it's been progress.
Yes, I will tell you that as soon as I looked at the agenda, I made a phone call on that check. Yes, there has been progress made, but the desire to move forward is still there and still in the works for further progress.
Sophia Hansen, Community Services. I think the last time I reported we had 11% gender diversity. We now have 11% ethnic diversity, and they are recruiting an additional African-American board member. And the one that they did add to the board is a longtime City of Wilmington resident. It's that City Council President Norman Griffiths, son of Christopher from his local
I just want to thank everybody on this council and the administration for being serious about this and working collectively to make what I see as positive progress as relates to the operation of the library. So I just want to thank everybody.
It's kind of like what we said, Jay, you know, when it comes to the children. You cut their money, they cut the grass. So you cut the money, the stuff gets done. Next on the agenda is R14-201, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Friends and Friends LLC, design, bidding, and construction administration services for the Rockwood Conservatory project for the Department of Special Services in the amount of $29,150. As stated in the title, this is for design services for the conservatory. It will also include field survey work and to assess the latest condition of the structure. Is there any questions or any comments on this from members of council? Councilman Rowe.
Thank you. Was there ever a design on this before?
I thought there was.
You wish to answer?
Yes, they were the organization originally under contract with the Friends of Rockwood, and so we brought that back, them back in, and they have extensive historic preservation experience, so we're excited that Special Services is working with them.
One more question. Was there any dollar cents on the last one that we paid into, or how was it done?
Yeah. Steve Rubel, Special Services. There was a design that was completed about 2 years ago. It was ready to go out for bid at that time. And since that many years have passed, it's important to bring them back in and just reassess. Get the drawings up to speed with where they need to be, and then get this thing out for bid again. So that's basically what's happened.
So how much money was spent last time?
You know, I don't have that figure for you, but I can get that because it was directly through the Friends of Rockwood. And so, you know, we didn't have that directly on record, but I can get that for you.
Well, all right, thank you.
Councilman Hollins, then Councilman Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this the same Friends of Rockwood that we had the major debate about over whether this was a prevailing wage project or not?
Right.
This is Sophia Hansen. this was the same group that worked with the Friends of Rockwood. So they did the original design, so we brought them back to update the design.
But they're not the Friends group.
Let me clarify if I may. For those that don't have it in front of you, this is R-F-R-E-N-S.
Right.
It's the design outfit or whatever.
So we're going to pay Friends to do what Friends paid Friends to do.
Right.
Yes.
I think it's completely ridiculous and a waste of public resources.
Yeah.
Steve Rubel again, Special Services. The only thing that's happening now is simply to just update the drawings. They're not doing the design all over again. So it's just to tweak the drawings so we can get it out for bid. Additionally, the decision that was made at the time was to make sure that we follow Newcastle County bidding procedures,
right,
which was not the approach the last time. So we need to change specifications, get that all up to speed so that we follow the state guidelines, Newcastle County guidelines. So those are the dollars that we need to spend to get the bid package correct and then get it out for bid again. But again, we're not doing the design all over again.
Which is a $30,000 tweak.
It includes updating the design, bidding assistance, and also site observation and inspection during construction. So I took a look at the numbers and it seems appropriate.
Let's get some council members on board. Councilman Cartier and then Councilman Kilpatrick.
Just a little perspective. This conservatory is one of a kind in the nation. It was last rebuilt, I think, in the late 80s. And the Friends of Rockwood at that time, in the recent past, contracted with this highly qualified historical restoration design engineering firm to begin the process of design work for the restoration of the conservatory. As I recall, being in their meetings, that I think they had outlaid something in the neighborhood of $14,000 for initial design drawings, and then we're out of the project. But I'm glad that we are having continuity with this firm, because I think they're highly capable, very sophisticated, and we will get a good result when we go to reconstruct the conservatory, because it needs it, and we don't want to be in a situation where this thing rots completely apart and collapses, and I'm afraid we're getting to that point. Needless to say, they were prepared to undertake this project, meaning the Friends of Rockwood, but we're back where we are, and I want to see that project is completed and that conservatory restored to its historic quality and uniqueness as soon as possible.
Thank you. Well, I agree with Councilman Cartier that this is desperately needed. I think it was desperately needed at least a year ago, and I totally agree with Councilman Hollins that this is ridiculous. This is something that the Friends had done. They told me they paid $12,000 to have it done. The description was exactly the same. The design was done. They were in the process of going to bid when they were shut down. So someone has paid them $12,000, which the Friends group is telling me that they believe that design is their design. So I certainly would hope that we're not going to enter into anything where we are infringing upon something that somebody paid for and is actually theirs for another $30,000 on top of the $12,000.
On my part, at the end of the day, I would like to see, if you have it, if not, we'll go to Councilman Cartier, perhaps to the Friends. I would like to see the original work that was done and the projected cost of that project, the new work that's done, the projected cost of that, and in the middle, I'd like to see the spreadsheet comparison of the changes and the cost changes. Just so we can try to clear it as we move forward. Okay.
And when do you plan to see this? Because as it stands right now, I cannot support this as it is. the information that you're asking for.
Yeah, I don't, well, it, I can just say, I know it's going to be after this because they won't produce it until we get this. I'm just asking if this gets passed and it goes, I'd like to at least see if there's some justification at the end of the rainbow for what's been done. Anything from the public? Hearing none. 202, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract increase in the amount of $78,644.67 for the Wilmington Institute Library for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services, which revised the total purchase order amount of $173,020.67. And this is the direct purchase order. This replaces purchase order 161175, which had been canceled due to a clerical error. So this is a replacement purchase order for the Wilmington Institute Library. Any questions, any comments on 14202? Anything from the public? None. R14203, authorizing the execution of 10 purchase order contracts to Baker and Taylor Companies for library books and materials for various libraries for the Office of Community Services in the amount of $24,530.89. And it is what it is. It's the purchase of books and materials for all the county libraries and technical services. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? R14205, requesting that the Newcastle County Financial Advisory Council review Newcastle County's current investment policies and provide recommendations. I did go to the last board meeting. I spoke with them. While this is not part of their charge as to when they were created, they have agreed to step into the role and perform this task for us on a one-time basis, and they have been provided 4 investment policies already. So although we haven't approved it, and I told them if it didn't pass, they could stop, but at least I gave them something to look at and chew on so that we wouldn't lose time if council chose to approve this resolution tonight. Any questions from any members of council? The public? Thank you. Next, ordinance 14-095, amend the capital budget, increase appropriations and state authorizations of $45,000 to the general parkland improvements project for improvement to Roser Park in Hokesson. Councilman Shelton.
Yes, before we start, Mr. Chair, I'd like to tell council there is a companion piece, though it's not on here. It's a resolution 14-204, which one appropriates the money, the other one puts it into a resolution to be voted on and gives it the go-ahead. This is a $45,000 pass-through grant from the state. It came from DENREC, which started with the land appropriations and water and so forth. So this just goes into our parkland funds for general improvements, and it goes specifically to Roser Park, like you said.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? R14-096, amend the FY 2015 approved operating budget, increase the authorized position count for the Department of Public Safety by 5 police officer positions in order to accommodate the upcoming 40th Newcastle County Police Academy. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we've had extensive discussion about this previously in both the Public Safety Committee meeting and at least one other meeting, and unless there are concerns or questions now, per type.
Okay. Any questions by any members of the council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Substitute 1 to 14089. To amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2, Administration, Article 5, Departments and Offices, Division 2.05.500, Department of Administration, Section 2.5503, Office of Finance, to clarify county investment law status is currently tabled. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Both 14089 and 14090 will remain on the table.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next on the agenda is the bid for investment advisory services. Mr. Coop? Or you got someone else?
No, I didn't. Would you like me to explain or?
Or someone?
We have
the RFP? Or if you have purchasing? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Coop.
Tony Gardner. We have actually responded, Tony Gardner from Administrative Services. We have actually responded to all the questions that were posed by council regarding the investment services. So we sent that to you, Councilman Scali, with the copy to county attorney as well as the Office of Finance.
And I just want to clarify a couple things to whoever can answer. Number one, I just want to clarify that this bid was posted on the transmission to council on the August 11th to 15th, 2014 bid process, so that has been out there a while. I do have a couple of questions. On page, and I don't know if you have it with you, but on page 3, where and throughout, it refers to the investment policy. Is this one of the policies, I'm assuming this is one of the policies that has been transmitted to the financial investment?
My two finance, yes. Yes.
Can you tell me which one?
It was the one called Reserves.
Called Reserves?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is the one that we were presently working on drafting, bringing to finalization. That's why the time is actually good to have it reviewed.
And I only have one more question on page 7, where we list the page 7, wait, here, where we list the point system. Further back. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry, it's page 15. Where we list the point system. I'm just curious. The third one says, or yeah, third one, this description of assets under management by firm advisory team, which I assume goes back to page 7. My question is, how much does the site, because we're always talking about employing locally, giving what business we can locally. How much does the size of the firm weigh into the decision?
My two finance, I won't be on the selection committee, obviously, but it weighs a little. I wouldn't say it fully impacts any review. I think it's there. I've sat on other review boards for other types.
Would it fall into the 0 to 20 points? If you have.
Yes, under expertise and qualifications.
Yeah, is that where we'd be? Okay, I just want to make sure I.
That's where I would consider it.
New expertise, okay, so 0 to 10.
Is that what it is, 0 to 10?
I was looking at description of assets under management. I thought that might be how you gauge how big the firm is, that's all.
I might be looking at the wrong one here.
I just want to see, I have the original mocked up copies of that expertise. Yes, this would be.
0 to 10, okay, so a maximum of 10 points. Okay.
Yes.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Thank you very much.
If I'm correct, and I may not be, I thought that there were more than one reserve policy. If that's correct, that there's reserve in the title of more than one, then we have general, we have sewer. What specific one are we talking about?
Michael Finance, your answer. All reserves. All reserves, because all reserves are co-mingled for investment purposes, because you get the bigger bang for the buck.
But not
larger amount.
Yeah.
No, they're all co-mingled, but what they're doing in the accounting system is where they're broken apart. That's how where you see your sewer, you'll see your general fund allocated that way. That's and then the investment share that comes in is allocated accordingly, according to the balance in each account.
Okay, I thought, and again, could be wrong, I thought that the sewer had to stay separate because otherwise there was no way to designate exactly how much in interest or
but it does.
Gains
See,
comes
that's where,
to
that's
the
where
sewer
kept,
fund.
That's where it's kept separate in the accounting system. And the one attorney that was here from the bank at the last meeting, he had mentioned the same thing, that it is important to be able to commingle your funds. He said he realized that. You commingle to get the best interest rate. you're going to get a larger interest rate on 92, 130, or whatever million versus 40 million, 50 million. And that's where your accounting system comes in. The accounting system has sewer, general fund, and then the total investment amount that comes in is allocated accordingly as to what share you are of the balance.
Let me try to take a short streak here with my limited knowledge. How we can expend funds, there are different policies. We have one investment policy that covers the reserves. However, take a shot in the dark. If the sewer fund made up 25% of the funds that were invested, then on allocation of asset and earnings, 25% of the earnings would go to the sewer fund.
Yes.
So, and that's where you're saying the accounting
is
where it's separated out.
Yes. That's where it's all taken care of in the accounting side.
Believe it or not, I came up with that myself.
But it is a good short part of
that. Oh, I'm sorry.
It is the part.
Okay.
Any further questions from council?
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. So you're saying there's separate general ledger accounts for the reserves?
Separate general ledger accounts for the funds. But within the Treasury group of accounts, there's a separate account. There's a breakout.
So there's one for the sewer fund, rainy day fund, and one for the general fund, rainy day fund, and one. Okay.
I believe you've been looking. You probably know what's there, what the accounts are.
You're saying there's separate general ledger accounts for each of the reserves.
No, I didn't say that.
No, not that.
Okay. You said accounts, so I wasn't sure what you meant by accounts.
You mean accounting.
There's the sewer fund accounts. There's the general fund accounts.
Okay, when you say accounts, are you talking about general ledger accounts?
Certainly.
Okay.
That's where the equity accounts are.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any questions from council? Questions from the public? Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. I'm sure we will have further discussions in the future. Checkbook presentation.
To finance, I just want to have the crackjack team here from finance. So, the Wiki Dave Del Grande and of course Russell Morris will make the presentation. And move out of the way.
Let me know if I'm blocking anybody's vision with my swelled head. What?
Okay, good afternoon, members of council. I'm Russ Morris, budget analyst in the Office of Finance. Have an overview of the FY2014 revenues. As always, we indicate these are still preliminary, unaudited numbers. When we talk about the revenues, one of the ones that we tend to jump over very quickly is the property tax revenue. As you can see, it is really one of the largest parts of the general fund. It accounts for approximately 66% of our general fund. In our FY2014 budget, the budget was $109.7 million. We took in $109.4 million. Most of that comes in during a very few months. Property tax bills are due this month. We would expect to receive somewhere around the neighborhood of $75 to $80 million in the month of September alone. And we've probably taken in close to $45-50 million so far this month. As we speak, the Treasury unit is busily collecting money and will be receiving quite a bit, probably another $20 million in the next week. So this comprises one of our largest. There's a very small growth, very slow growth in this. You can see that we had a 109.4. Our budget for this year is 109.6 million. So, the general fund revenues, it's very steady, easily anticipated revenues, but it's a slow growth.
Mr. Chair, question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman Lyon.
Thank you. At the low point of our recession, what was the mix in rough percentages?
I'm not sure. I remember that it was certainly closer to 57 or 55%. Do you remember, Dave?
Or
we could check.
Ed Miller looking for mine, so I can answer. That probably was higher because real estate transfer tax was low at that time.
Yeah.
And now it's shifted with the transfer tax gaining again. Property taxes are lower, but I'm not sure the exact amount offhand. But yeah, it's lower now, apart. It might have been close to 70% back then because transfer tax was low.
Since we run in cycles, although that may be extreme,
yeah.
I'd just like to know the answer.
Yeah, we can get that information. There's a 5-year, 6-year chart we do that shows the breakup of that.
Speaking of one of those revenues that runs in cycles, the real estate transfer tax, the RTT, had one of its best years last year since 2008. And you can see here's the actual revenues that we received. You know, the blue line is for the previous year. And you can see, we took in during FY 2013, we were very happy to receive the $19.7 million when our original budget was only $16.3 million. Our budget for FY 14 was $19 million. And in fact, we took in over $25 million last year. Most of that, you can see, was very early in the year. We had two very strong months. September and October, we took in over $3 million. And that was on the strength of some very large sales. We wouldn't have expected to receive over $2 million. So that was a very strong start to the year. And then it continued throughout the year. Yeah, incidentally, our budget for this year, is a little bit lower. Our expected revenues are $24.1 million for FY15. This is a summary of FY2014, and you can see that across the board, we saw increases. We had more transactions overall. We had more transactions for the first-time home buyers. The only category that was smaller was the category between 1 and 5 million, but the over 5 million, we saw significant increase in it. And that's why we had such a dramatic increase last year. In FY13, 13 properties sold for over $5 million. In FY14, 24 million, or 24 properties sold over $5 million. And that was the big reason for the increase that we saw last year. Here's the top five that we saw last year. And what's interesting is if you take the top three transactions, Christiana Fashion Center, Bellevue Office Park, and AstraZeneca, those three are less than 1%. In fact, they're 0.01% of all the transactions, but they accounted for roughly 10% of the RTT that we received last year. So yes, we had several, very few large sales that drove the increase, but that's not all the story. Take a look at this, multi-year track. You can see 2008, the last great year that we had. The big thing is that even though our large transactions increased, we see a significant increase in the total number of under $1 million. We were here last year and said that in FY13, we're really happy that, yes, we had some big sales, but it was the under $1 million transactions that had some growth. Well, this year we had an even better growth. So we can see continuing strength, at the base of the market, not just a few large sales, but broad growth in the RTT. Let's take a look at some of the service charges. When we were talking about this a year ago, we saw some significant drops. This year, the sheriff's commissions came in almost exactly on budget, so $4.2 million to $4.2 million, and the same with fees. The significant drop was in deeds and instruments last year. Their budget was 5.7, and in fact, they received 4.7. So even though the real estate market has improved, Now, one of the things that we've seen a significant drop-off has been in the refinances. As soon as interest rates went up, just by a hair, the refi market seemed to dry up overnight, and that was a leading driver for the deeds and instruments in the Recorder of Deeds office. So they were $1 million under budget. Corporate filing fees, exactly where we expected them to be, 1.1. Subdivision review was down slightly, it was $1 million. For the budget, actual received was about $800,000, and 911 reporting fees was exactly on target at 1.1.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Justin Moore. This is a public safety question. I know we're under 50% on landline calls. You probably wouldn't know the answer to this question. I remember reading something under 50%. I know it keeps dropping as we change to cell phones. I just raised the question because that number, it's going to continue to track down, and we keep in mind the fact that it's the inequity of this county only being singled out as not being able to collect its user-free costs for cell phone use.
We can,
just part of that, the answer to that part is that the we got $1.1 million from this, Ed Melwicki from finance, we got $1.1 million from landlines from the state that's in state law that was passed maybe 10 or 12 years ago. So we are guaranteed that amount of money even if landlines go down. But not to say that the state could change that also. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's a Recorder of Deeds. As we said last year, we received a little bit less than the actual budget. We received 4.8 as opposed to the 5.8. And if we had gone back a year before, you could have seen that we had a much stronger fall. We saw a significant drop-off, starting a couple of months after the rates started going up. And that you can see the changes, the brown line where we started revising the budget, right about in November, and the numbers kept going down. So we dialed back the projection for this year. It's 5.6 million instead of the 5.8 that we budgeted last year, and it might even come in below that. So, we're seeing increased, RTT and real estate transactions, but we're seeing fewer and fewer refis. So that's being reflected in the Recorder of Deeds fees. Sheriff, now this is a little bit different, because there have been fluctuations back and forth, depending upon how many transfers the sheriffs have paid. I use a 3-month moving average instead of strictly a monthly report. But you can see that last year they were very smooth. There wasn't any great increases. There wasn't any great decreases. The Mortgage Mediation Act, when it passed, had a significant drop in the sheriff sales. And then last year, while the banks were waiting for it to be extended, there was a significant drop off. But after that, it's been fairly consistent. We might see a small peak in a small valley. But the sheriff's revenue was just on target last year and probably is going to remain relatively flat through this year as well. Our budget last year was $5 million overall for the sheriffs. Our budget this year is 5.1. We really don't see any big changes, coming out from the sheriff's sales. This is just a chart going back to FY 2002, and you can see, starting in 2009, the significant increases, reaching up to almost crisis proportions in FY 11 and FY 12. And then once the Mortgage Mediation Act took place, a significant drop off in total number of share sales between FY 13 and FY 14. And again, we expect the FY 15 numbers to be just about the same as we saw for FY 15. Subdivision zoning and review. This has been one of the areas that's been generally slow. There was only one major subdivision plan that was received during the entire past 2 years, and you can see that that was back in FY 12. In FY 14, we had a budget of 1.4. We took in about 1.2. Our budget for this year is 1.1. We're off to a slightly better start this year. In the first quarter, this year total planning fees for this month will be about $180,000 to $200,000. So that's going to be the best month that we've seen since FY 13. And it's always good to start that off at the beginning of the year rather than waiting for those at the end. Where land use has been seeing a significant increase has been in building permits. In FY 14, our budget was 2.8. We did a little bit better than that, 2.9. We've been expecting a slight increase this year of $3.0 million. And when I look at the first quarter so far, we are doing consistently better than the same months for last year. And it's in two areas. We're seeing improved housing starts, and we're seeing improved commercial construction. Let's take a look at new construction numbers. This was one of the areas where for the past 2 years, in FY 13 and FY 14, you can see that new residential construction, these are new housing starts, were significantly better. And they were better than they had been since FY 2007. New housing starts, means down the road for us, new houses are being built, they're going to be appraised, they're going to be sold, so it's, we're going to receive the RTT from them, and we're going to see increase in assessments, for the property taxes. So, new single-family houses are certainly a leading indicator of improved revenues for the county. So the fact that for the past 2 years we've seen improved single-family construction, and it's continuing into this year, is one of the bright spots in economic development. FY 13 versus 14. Here's the houses, and you can see that the area where we've fallen off has been in the multifamily residences. FY 12 and 13, we saw a big increase in multifamily residential construction. Condominium units and apartments. There was only two units that were built in FY 14. We've seen one so far this year. But the increase was in single family and in residential and in townhouse construction. Both of those were better in 2014 than in 2013. And again, we're off to a very good start for this year. So hopefully that trend continues throughout this year. Other major categories that we've tracked, recreation as a whole, the budget was $1.2 million, came very close to that last year, $1.1 million. Use of money and property, $4 million budget, the actual received was $4.4 million. Most of that was on the strength of revenues received as a result of a settlement. And what was the settlement? Was it J.P. Morgan? J.P. Morgan settlement. Intergovernmental revenues, budget was $7 million, receipts $7.1 million. And that includes the monies that were appropriated at the end of the year, the state police contribution, or the state police pensions. And then miscellaneous, $1.8 million. The general fund revenues were very positive. We saw a loss on the sewer fund side. The total sewer fund revenues for the year was, the estimated budget was 60.4. We actually received 56.8. Most of the drop-off was in residential. It was 25.6 actual compared to a $28 million estimate. But the non-residential was also down, mostly in the first half of the year. This tends to be a lagging indicator, and in the first half of last year, we saw the results of the slowdown in the economy during the first half of calendar year 14. So our non-residential, particularly the industrial and commercial numbers were down. They picked up in the second half of the year, and they continue to look good so far this year. But the residential was down in part because of the late billing. Some of this money will be received this year, but it's going to show up as, you know, delinquent collections. So when we receive that, we're going to have a good year this year on delinquent collections, and then next year we'll have to be explaining to people, don't expect to see as much of the delinquent. You know, it's just not going to be there. We're splitting the difference in the budget for this year. You know, the estimated budget for sewer collection is 59.2, which is partway between the actual and the estimates for last year. Ed?
Yeah, I'll take that. Ed Milwaukee, finance office, talking about the results of operations. Before I get to that, though, I want to go back to Councilman Reiner's question about the taxes. Looked it up. Back in 2008, real estate transfer tax accounted for 20% of the county's revenues. Property taxes were 52%. Then when the hard times hit, when the transfer tax went down from 2010 to 2013, the property taxes accounted for 66% of the revenues, and real estate transfer tax only accounted for about 11%. And now we're back, moving back down again. Property taxes are now 63%, and the RTT is going up as far as percentage.
Thank you, Ed.
Sure. Okay, so results of operations for 2014 for the general fund. Again, as Russ mentioned, these are unaudited numbers. Expenditures in our revenues, we took in we spent $169.9 million. We brought in $175.3 million. And the difference between the revenues and expenditures is $5.4 million. Just to note, when the budget was passed way back on July 1st, 2013, for the 14 budget, we had the budget was a $2 million shortfall that was expected. As you can see, we went from a $2 million shortfall to a $5.4 million positive on our revenues versus expenditures. Again, a lot of it had to do with the RTT activity that Russ talked about, the good year we had in real estate transfer tax. We had transfers out of $3.5 million for capital. The net change then is about $1.9 million. We began the year with available cash at $54.2 million. The net change is $1.9. The excess RTT, that's the amount that we collected versus the amount we had budgeted of $7.3 million. That gets designated for a special RTT reserve. So the available cash beginning on July 1st of 2014 is $48.8 million for the general fund. And I have a slide a little later to talk about the reserves, the dollar amounts in each reserve. But this is how the general fund, again, the unaudited numbers have looked out of the general fund results for 2014. For the sewer fund, as Russ said, we didn't do as good there. In fact, we ended up in the negative because revenues. We spent $71.6 million for the year. We took in $68.8. So we had a negative activity there of $2.8 million of expenditures versus revenues. Transfers out to capital of about $600,000. So we had a net change, a deficit of $3.4 million for the year for the sewer fund. You compare that, our available cash balance at the beginning of the year, July of 13, was $14.1 million. The $3.4 million reduction or deficit. And we have available cash balance at the beginning of July 1st of 2014, $10.7 million in the sewer fund.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd just like to make a point. You know, those numbers on the sewer fund, to me, talk about the fact that we are in a big deficit with that fund. And I'd just like to place on the table for members of council to understand, you know, that's a utility, we pay as you go. And I mean, we don't want to talk about, you know, increasing fees or taxes to our residents, but that's a key infrastructure responsibility of this county. Eventually, you know, if you just don't do any corrections at any point, you're going to run out of your reserve funds, and you're going to have to come to people with big increases. So, you know, I'd rather take, I'd rather take small bites out of that pie and, you know, keep reinforcing to our residents that, you know, this is a utility fund, pay as you go, and, you know, we're going to have to, you know, make, in my mind, continue to make that clear to our residents. So we can't just continue down this path, because you can see where you will just eat away all the reserves.
When you look at the checkbook, you'll see there's reserves being eaten up in the sewer fund. I'll show you that when we get to that page.
I think we had a question from you. Did you raise your hand?
No.
Okay.
The reserves, this is a new page we put into the checkbook presentation update you where the estimated balances of the various reserves are. The rainy day reserve, again, that's recalculated every year. It's 20% of the annual estimated revenues for the upcoming budget. That number currently is $33.6 million. The tax stabilization reserve, again, that number is part of calculated through the annual audit. That number is $48.8 million. Then we have the RPT reserve of $9 million. $4.5 is allocated in the 2015 budget. And that number is, will give you $4.5 million left into the next fiscal year on that. Depending on how we do with RTT this year, we could add to that if possible. The things I do want to make council aware of on this is that when we talk about the tax stabilization reserve, that number is affected in three ways. If the rainy day reserve goes up any year, that money comes out of the tax stabilization reserve. It just gets reallocated into the rainy day reserve. If council during the year, or if the administration approves any additional funds for any issues that may come up during the year, that money is taken out of the tax stabilization reserve. This current fiscal year that ended 2014, we appropriated $3.2 million out of that reserve for various things during the year, like a list of 9 or 10 items that we used that tax stabilization reserve to budget. And then the final thing is, any fiscal year where we would have a negative or a shortfall in our revenues versus expenditures, the tax stabilization reserve technically makes up that difference. That number would be lowered if we do have a shortfall any fiscal year. It would come out of that tax stabilization reserve. So that number fluctuates every year depending on the activity that happens during the year. And it's recalculated as part of the audit. For the sewer fund, the rainy day reserve, again, is 20% of the revenues. It's $14.2 million. The sewer rate stabilization reserve is 10.7. We've allocated $1.3 million for the 2015 budget out of the sewer reserves, which leaves us $9.4 million on the sewer rate stabilization reserve. Any questions on the reserves and how we get those and the numbers and calculations? Okay. And finally, the checkbook. What do we look for in the out years? If you look at on the revenues, the available, fifth one down, available cash balances, from 2016 to 2019, based on this scenario, we would need to pull those amounts of money out of the tax stabilization reserve every year to balance those budgets. Again, in this scenario, you go all the way to the bottom, you'll see the available financial reserve, that's the tax stabilization reserves. Those numbers, again, are decreased every year based on how much we would need to balance those budgets in the out years. So it continually goes down, barring any type of tax or fee increases or a reduction in expenditures. And the sewer fund, as Councilman Cartier was saying, in 2015, versus available cash balances, the revenues, we are planning to use $1.3 million to balance the sewer fund budget. From 2016 to 2019, we are looking at $6 million to $8 million every year to pull out as reserves, if they're available, to balance those budgets without any type of fee increase. If you look at the bottom, in 2017, the available financial reserves in the sewer fund are exhausted if there's no fee increase. You see, we go into the negative, which obviously we can't, but we will go into the negative unless fees are increased for the sewer fund or our expenditures are reduced. So, any questions on the checkbooks for the sewer fund and general fund? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next on the agenda, we have the grant request. And I want to take a shot at it. Racist, Councilman Cartier.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Over the years, I have had a great interest in the Hispanic community as a growing minority community in Newcastle County, and this nonprofit is a really important nonprofit in our Hispanic community. They are just reading from the purpose of the organization. It's to create a focal point for all those wishing to spread the manifestations of Latin culture in Delaware and neighboring states, maintain and spread the identity of the Latin culture while breaking popular stereotypes, to provide aid in cultural exchange via music and other art forms, to improve the self-esteem and visions of Latino in our community, to unite all individuals, groups, businesses that work in favor of the Latin community in order to unify and maximize positive results. So they have they hold two pageants, Miss Hispanic pageant, Miss Little Hispanic pageant, and the three-day festival, Hispanic festival, which has struggled over the years, which has generally been held in Wilmington. They're asking for $2,500. I'm willing to get involved with them and donate that $25 out of my funds, but if any other members of council would like to be involved with that and help me with that, I would really appreciate it. I think that the Hispanic community reality is something that we always need to keep in mind and try to assist them. And I know that they've had a lot of struggles over the past, recent past, and raising funds. And, you know, I hope other members of council will be able to join with me in this grant request for $2,500.
Councilor Rudd.
I'll give $1,000.
Thank you.
I'll give $5.
Okay, so we have Councilman Cartier at $1,000, Councilman Rudd at $1,000, Councilwoman Kilpatrick is $500. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So, appreciate that,
Councilman Cartier. If you
would, yeah, I'd like to motion in the amounts of $2,500 for the respective council people, myself $1,000, Councilman Rudd $1,000. Councilmember Kilpatrick with $500 for the Nuestros Racists grant from County Council.
Okay. Motion on the table. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Patty Mischoff Foundation. Councilman Warner.
Thank you. This is a foundation, 501c3, that raises funds to provide grants to teachers in the Brandywine School District with the purpose of offering opportunities, achieving excellence in education directly to teachers. It's outside the government, and it maintains an independence and stimulates excellence in creativity with teachers. They also raise funds through a number of creative ways, so this is just one of their sources. We gave $1,000 last year. I'm willing to up the contribution to $1,500 this year. I make a motion, $1,500 for Patty Mischoff Foundation.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Gwynn Hurst Civic Association. Councilman Cartier.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Gwynn Hurst. Gwynn Hurst Subdivision, Gwynn Hurst Community is, I would say, in the top 3 to 4 subdivisions in the District 8 Council District, and it's been a community for many years, not really having a good civic association, a community fraught with numerous issues and problems, and over the past 2 to 3 years, a group has come together to run that civic association. They've done an outstanding job. They're on Facebook. They've really provided a monthly forum now where local elected officials, state and county can meet to identify and work on their problems. This leadership group is just so outstanding that I offered to help them with their mailing costs for their newsletter. So I'd like to make a motion for the Gwynnhurst Civic Association for $800 per grant application.
Motion on the table for $800. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Not opposed.
Okay, next is Our Youth Incorporated. Council President Bullock isn't here. I'm going to move this forward. This is for the purchase of supplies for the annual turkey drive, which takes place in November. This is Our Youth Incorporated, and I believe that is a part of or in conjunction with NOR Enterprises. They actually asked for $2,500. Council President's going to get $250. So there's a motion on behalf of President Bullock for $250 to Our Youth Incorporated. Is there a second?
Second.
I'd like to add $250 as well.
Now, since Anthony just wants you to know, Councilman Hall is adding $250. That's not in place of, so the president won't get his $250 back. We'll put that on the record. I don't.
Please make note of that.
Okay. So there's a motion for a grant for $500 to Our Youth Incorporated for their annual turkey drive. Now, is there a second for the new motion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Okay. Does anyone have anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Okay. Open for other. I have one thing under. Yeah, why don't you let me, if you don't mind. All right, with your indulgence. Under other, we've done this in the past. We have to keep this, I'm going to keep the same procedure going. Need to make a motion for council to expend the funds necessary to pay the severance for Mr. Holleiter, who's left council's employee, as well as the percentage contribution to benefits as required by the severance fund, and that amount right now is $7,606. I make a motion to transfer the funds to fulfill our financial obligations.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. I want to touch on this just a little bit further, not going deep into discussion. I've had some preliminary discussions with Mr. Boyle on this. It's not like we really have a choice in this. It's an obligation that council has. It's part of more or less the contract with council. So I'd like to have discussion when we get into the budget process about our establishing and funding a budget line. We don't vote on everybody to get paid every 2 weeks. We don't vote on the monthly health care contribution. There's a thing we have to do. So I'd like to have discussion, just a heads up in advance about us just putting this line in our budget, funding it, so that it gets taken care of the way it should. So if we're off for a period, like we just had a break, and we get an employee leave for whatever reason, they're not held up getting the funds that are due and coming to them. So I'll be looking at that in the budget process. Councilman Reddy?
Thank you. What would you suggest as in dollars?
Well, since each year we go, I would suggest initially we fund it with between $40,000 and $50,000. You don't see what that, because let's face it, we may go 4 to 8 years without ever needing it.
Right.
Of course, as my aide has reminded me, the quicker we turn over the aides, the less we have to pay in severance. Wouldn't you have told me that? Okay. My mistake, I'm sorry. Mr. Coop.
Thank you. Mike Coop, Finance. At the last meeting, Councilman Warner had a couple questions when I was discussing refunding, and I want to come back and give you the appropriate answers now. First, the SLUGS. The acronym is SLGS, and it stands for State and Local Governments Serious Securities, and their direct U.S. Treasuries, which are restricted for local governments to accommodate with refund conditions. And the other was, we were discussing the TIC, the true interest cost. And the average interest, most of the interest rate associated with the bonds we'd be refinancing right now is between 4 and 5%, which gives an average TIC of about 4.8%. With the refunding, we'll be able to reduce that to about 2.2, which would be a reduction of about 2.6% in the interest rate. So these out-year bonds for the 2007-2009 series
were mostly 4 or 5% bonds, and today's lower rate, that's what we need to do. So I just want to come back and share that with you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anything else under other? I'd like to thank council for the cooperation and expeditious meeting. Can I get a motion?
So motion adjourned.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much.